Friends, in recent weeks, we've been looking at some of the features and factors of what it means to believe. And I was trying in selecting things for this series to come up with some of the things that we perhaps don't emphasize quite as often about believing. And today we get to the topic of enjoying what we believe. Now, let me set the scene for this. You know, some of our forebears were pretty stern folk. And in fact, some of you may have been raised on the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And it's a pretty straightforward, almost to our ears today, stern-sounding document. But I want to remind you of, even from the 16th century, how it begins. In the language of the time, pardon the sexism in it, not intended, I don't think it was generic, but what is the chief end of man? And the response in the catechism was, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Now that's out of the 16th century. And that sets the underpinning for what follows. Though some of it is a little sterner in tone. Anyway, we ought to keep in mind that a significant, in fact, essential element of our faith involves enjoyment. Now, we don't always quite make it, do we? And let's talk about some of those things that may diminish our awareness of enjoying the faith. Well, I don't know all of your life stories, but I know that many of you have been involved in Christian community for a large part of your lifetime. And, you know, I have a question then to ask, because I fall into the same category. Did we receive faith as an obligation, or did we see it as a gift? I mean, when we inherit something that's passed down to us, and there's an element in our receiving it that is the honoring of those who shared it with us, sometimes it can happen that people receive the faith as an obligation that they have to fulfill, more than seeing it as a gift that was bestowed upon them. And while there is perhaps a certain element of truth in the idea of obligation, because the faith does have obligations connected with it, nevertheless, if we lose an appreciation for the sense of our faith being a gift to us, we've kind of set the wrong mold. And so, you know, our faith, though it has obligations, is not primarily about obligation. It's first and foremost a gift. A gift that others have shared with us in our lifetime, and of course, initially, a gift that God has bestowed in his Son, Jesus Christ. And so we need to stay attuned to our faith so that obligation never dominates over the aspect of faith being a gift to us. And the second one is kind of like it, you know. And it's the question of whether we see faith as a burden or a blessing. We live busy lives. And sometimes the practice of our faith weighs a little heavy on us. Sometimes it's just getting ourselves together as Christian people on a regular basis so that we can share in fellowship and encourage one another. Sometimes it is that what we know and believe runs in conflict with kind of what we want in the moment. And we face that challenge of what will we do? And of course, when we begin, or if we begin, to see something as a burden, it changes its whole perspective in our life and thought. Oh, that again. Or is this God's blessing in which we live joyfully? And I mention this because it's important for us in the various seasons of life to reflect on this, to make sure that the joy element in the faith we profess and in what we believe predominates over any sense of obligation or burden. And as a final test, perhaps this one, is our faith associated more with guilt or more with grace? Now, you know, there is an appropriate guilt element, because we all have a faith that rests on God's receiving us as we are and God's pardoning us, whatever. And to appreciate pardon, of course, we have to understand our need to be pardoned, our need to be forgiven. And so there is a guilt element that draws us to faith. But the important thing in faith is not that we get hung up on the guilt, but that our appreciation for God's grace is what dominates our thoughts and our response and our feelings. That we are grateful people. That when we think about faith, we think about what God has done and is doing and will do. Those promises that the Lord has given to his people, to be with them, to be there for them, to support them, to encourage them, to strengthen them. Those words again from Isaiah that Paul read for us this morning. God's promise to be there for his people and with them. Promises of grace. Grace in a multitude of forms. Grace sufficient to overcome and abolish guilt. And that's what the Lord intends for his people. And yes, before God, we acknowledge our guilt. And we recognize our need of pardon. But what we exult in more than anything else is that God is a God of grace, a God of healing, a God of goodness, a God of blessing, a God of hope. And so I just invite you from time to time to reflect on your faith, because sometimes, you know, we find our thoughts about faith more caught on the negative side than they ought to be. And in those moments, then, faith seems like the obligation, the burden, the guilt. When the Lord intends that our faith should be his gift to us, our blessing, and that we should recognize his grace. I end with these words from John 15. They're familiar words. We've read them here in this sanctuary in my time, even a number of times. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." That was Christ's desire for his people, that they might know the love of his heavenly Father, that they might experience joy in their hearts and lives, and that that joy might be fulfilling and complete. So as you think about faith and what it means to believe, somehow keep enjoying what you believe near the top of the list. Thanks be to God.